That Damn Toad, Part 4. Samir and Harriet grabbed their suitcases as the handler passed them through the small luggage window and onto the non-moving conveyor belt at the tiny airport. No indication from the inside of the building that they were in Barrow, Alaska. They had heard that if they went out onto the point on a clear day, they could see Russia. That would be something they'd have to try out, but they'd need to come back during the summer months. Now, the town sat in 24/7 darkness, which is what they came for. They were here to see the Northern Lights. Well, actually, that damn toad needed the Northern Lights. Harriet and Samir had followed the instructions in Harriet's journal that noted that they needed to bring that damn toad here on this night to see the Northern Lights. They were about to complete that task. They just didn't know why. The toad was snug and secure in the backpack on Samir's back. They claimed it as a carry-on, as they didn't want to risk losing it in Anchorage when they switched planes. As soon as they exited the small building, they realized their meager winter jackets and boots were not warm enough for the cold this far north. Top of the World, it was called. The city had a similar moniker as the hotel that they'd been staying in. There were several cabs waiting outside, but all appeared to be taken. So they grabbed the number from the side of one of the cabs and called, requesting their own transportation. It took about 10 minutes for the cab to arrive. They both laughed when the cab drove about a mile to the hotel. If it hadn't been so cold out, their phones said it was 20 below, they could have walked. The online forums didn't tell them what 20 below would feel like, and they thought they had prepared well enough with winter boots, coats, and gloves. They were wrong. They paid the driver $6, the amount reported in the online forums, and the driver simply replied, "Thank you." It seemed the rate was accurate, and it made sense as the town had a circumference of about 3 miles, so they couldn't go very far anyway. They walked up the graded metal stairs and entered the foyer. They marveled at the handmade parka encased in glass and other handmade native art that greeted them before they continued through another set of doors into the main lobby of the hotel. The restaurant was straight ahead of them and thankfully still open. The restaurant's online reviews had all been good, so they weren't worried. Plus, they knew from the forums that as a backup, they could have pizza or Chinese food delivered. They checked in at the front desk and then took the elevator to the second floor in their room. They dropped their shared suitcase onto the bed, made a quick walk around the room, noting it was clean. It had Nubian artwork on the walls and a great view of the Arctic Ocean. Their plan was to eat dinner, take a nap, and wait for instructions. Then they would get a cab and go out to the point to see the Northern Lights. Samir didn't know or understand how that damn toad communicated through Harriet's journaling, or how it knew when and where the Northern Lights were going to show, but both he and Harriet had seen enough since Harriet stole it from their friend Sam, who stole it from some old lady that he worked for, to know that that damn toad made things happen. Samir was certain that when they wished for something good, then something bad happened somewhere else, and he was quite sure the opposite was true, that when they wished for something bad, then something good happened someplace else, like the universe was evening itself out. Harriet told him he was crazy and it was all just random events, but Samir knew he was right. Samir remembered Harriet telling him some of the wild things that Sam had said he wished for. One that stuck out most was that Sam had wished the old lady that he stole the toad from wouldn't know that Sam was the person responsible for stealing it. A few hours later, according to Drunken Sam, the old lady was taken away by an ambulance. Samir didn't know what happened to her after that, but he did know that later that night, Sam went out drinking and ended up telling Harriet about the toad. Funny thing was, Sam didn't recall anything from the night and had no clue that Harriet stole it from him. Samir thought the two were connected. Then there was Harriet wishing that her cheating ex would get a venereal disease, and he did. He could not forget how the wad of cash just materialized in his hand after Harriet had licked that damn toad. Samir didn't have a lot of examples, but he did trust his gut, and so he was going to be extra cautious with the toad and making any wishes. And he sure as hell wasn't going to back down from anything that the toad wanted them to do, because then who knew what could happen. They unpacked a few things, and Harriet offered to carry the toad for a while, but Samir said he was fine, it wasn't that heavy. Harriet hadn't been sure if it was the best idea to tell Samir about the toad, but she was happy that he was here with her and helping with what she called the toad task. Harriet just wanted to get some food in her stomach, get some sleep, and get the toad to the lights. Then they could all go back home and decide what they wanted to wish for from there. The way she figured it, the toad owed her big for this, and she was going to take advantage. And she was hoping that the toad wanted the Northern Lights to regenerate, which would allow it to give more wishes. Drunk Sam told her about a drawing that marked the spaces previously licked on the toad, but Harriet hadn't seen where it was, and it wasn't in the backpack when she took the toad from Sam. They went back downstairs to the restaurant, the toad secure in the backpack and resting snugly on Samir's back. They found seats near the window. When the waitress came over, Samir ordered a salad with blackened salmon, and Harriet felt adventurous and had reindeer medallions. Their meals were fantastic and almost worth the expense. They paid, left a good tip, and then returned to the room. Samir took the toad out of the backpack and put it on the table next to the bed while Harriet changed clothes. They got into bed feeling exhausted, full, and ready to get some decent sleep. They didn't know what time they would be awakened to escort that toad out to see the Northern Lights. "I'm kind of excited to see the lights myself," Harriet whispered as they lay together in the darkness. "Me too," Samir agreed as he stared at the toad through the shadows in the room. It sat silently staring at them, its 18-inch tall round body covering nearly the entire top of the nightstand. Samir could still see the chisel marks despite the darkness and fought the urge to reach out and touch some of the chiseled pock marks that covered its body. Samir wondered, albeit not for the first nor the last time, what they had gotten themselves into. They both drifted quickly into dreamless sleep. Harriet jolted straight up in bed and announced loudly, "We have to go now." Samir had awoken at nearly the same moment and immediately got out of bed and started dressing. Harriet dressed hurriedly and phoned the cab company they had used to get to the hotel. Samir put the toad into the backpack and once again hoisted it onto his back. They put on their winter gear and went downstairs to the foyer to wait for the cab. They didn't have to wait long. "We'd like to go out to the point, please," Samir told the driver. "Out by Ilasabik?" the driver questioned in a thick Filipino accent. Samir had done enough online research to know that Ilasabik was the community college and said, "Yes, please. And can you stay? We'd like to rent the cab for an hour, maybe two," Samir asked, not knowing how long their toad task would take. "It's $50 an hour, you know this?" "Yes, we know," Harriet interjected. "Okay, I'll stay." The driver nodded as he agreed and began driving the couple to their requested destination. They drove along the snow-covered road, past the football field, and past the community college. Samir knew the route couldn't be longer than any 3 miles, but it took him forever. Finally, they came to a small circular plowed area. From there, the frozen ocean was on the left and Admiralty Bay was on the right. Behind them and off slightly to the left were the lights of Iktiavik, previously known as Barrow. Sam felt surreal. He was with his girlfriend in the most northern point of the United States with a stone toad looking for northern lights without any real knowledge of why. It was craziness. This was not an experience he would ever be able to share with anyone, unless, of course, he left the part out about that damn toad. Harriet got out of the cab as soon as it stopped along the edge of a snowbank, which was taller than the cab itself. She looked up and exclaimed, "They move!" Samir got out of the vehicle and looked up to where Harriet was pointing and saw swirls of white clouds passing overhead. Harriet took out her phone and showed Samir the clouds through the camera lens. The swirling white clouds suddenly erupted in shades of bright greens and streaks of red. Harriet took a few photos and then shoved her phone into her pocket before her battery froze. Samir looked around, saw what he thought a good spot atop a reachable mound of snow. He took off the backpack and removed the toad. He put the toad atop the snow pile. Within seconds, the swirls of white clouds dropped down to the toad and spun around the stone statue. Samir jumped back, not wanting to get caught up in whatever was happening. Harriet again took her phone from her pocket to video the eddy of clouds now surrounding the toad. Samir stood by her side, watching as the toad seemingly disappeared within the rotating clouds surrounding it. Through the lens of the phone, the event was nothing less than spectacular. Colors swarming, spinning, spiraling upward, and then plummeting downward to the toad and dancing, almost gyrating around the toad, and then they would rocket up again and dance back down, circling the toad until it was totally enveloped in greens and reds. The intensity of the colors was staggering. Then just as suddenly, Harriet began whistling. The Northern Lights did their magic and hummed with the intensity of the light movements, matching the cadence of Harriet's whistle. "What are you doing?" screamed Samir. "Are you crazy? Stop that!" Harriet moved closer to the toad, watching the northern lights, and whistled louder. "Harriet!" Samir yelled as he grabbed her arm and tried to pull her back toward him. Harriet yanked her arm away from him, dropping her phone while mesmerized by the lights, keeping her forward motion toward the toad. "Damn it, Harriet, stop!" Samir shouted. He reached down, picked up her phone, knowing Harriet would still want him to get everything on video. Harriet kept whistling even as she reached the toad and put out her hand to touch it. Samir watched through the camera lens as Harriet and the toad were totally enveloped within the northern lights. Then they were both lifted into the air, the clouds carrying them upward. Samir could still hear faint whistling, but he couldn't see either Harriet or the toad through the eddy of brilliant greens and reds. The colors rolled over one another, going higher into the air, twisting as if in a tornado. Samir caught a glimpse of both suspended midair. Then the faint whistling ceased, and the rotating blend of green and red slowed. Samir once again saw that damn toad, but Harriet was no longer next to it. He strained to see through the twisting clouds, trying desperately to catch a glimpse of Harriet, but she was gone. She had simply disappeared. Samir yelled, "Harriet!" to a return of empty silence. The northern lights gradually became softer, thinner, and the toad was brought back down with what could only be described as tenderness. The stone statue was placed in the same spot Samir had placed it. The humming stops and the clouds dispersed. Samir looked up to see that the clouds had once again fully re-entered the space above him and were now nearly invisible. Samir walked to the toad, tentatively picked it up. He felt the toad pulsating in his hands as if it had its own heartbeat. "What did you do to her?" Samir whispered, knowing he would not receive a response. He placed the toad back into the backpack once again, shouldered its weight upon himself. The whole event had taken less than 15 minutes. Samir shivered and walked backwards, still searching the area, hoping for a sight of Harriet. He finally gave up and went into the waiting cab. "You tell her not to whistle. She should listen," the driver said quietly. "You don't know if souls take you or just leave your love behind." "I know," Samir replied. "I need to report her missing." "Okay, I take you to police." The driver took Samir to the police station, where he declared Harriet missing and talked for over an hour with an officer, filled out paperwork to report her as missing. He stated that she had started walking, trying to get a better look at the northern lights, and then just disappeared. The cab driver told a story about how she was swallowed by the northern lights, which confirmed part of Samir's story that Harriet walked away to see the lights. The police were quick to call in a search party, and they all went back out to the point to look for her. Samir helped with search party efforts for the next few days and thankfully was able to remain at the hotel. He stayed for the following week until the police informed him he was free to leave. Everyone just assumed that Harriet had walked out onto the ice to commit suicide, which sadly happened every few winters here. Upon hearing he was able to leave, Samir booked his flight out of the most northern point he had ever been. But Samir knew the truth, and knowing the truth dissuaded him from making his own wishes. So he and that damn toad boarded their flight and returned home.